was Minnesota Democratic Congress member Ilhan Omar speaking at last night's town hall event in Minneapolis after she was attacked by a man who sprayed her with a strong-smelling liquid from a syringe. Her security tackled him. The man was arrested. Just hours before Congresswoman Omar was assaulted, President Trump openly mocked her during a rally in Iowa.
They have to show that they can love our country. They have to be proud. Not like Ilhan Omar. Did you see what? Did you see that wise guy? You know, she's always talking about the Constitution, you know, provides me with the following. You know, the Constitution, she comes from a country that's a disaster.
The attack on Minneapolis Congresswoman Ilhan Omar comes just days after Florida Democratic Congressmember Maxwell Frost was assaulted by a man during a party at the Sundance Film Festival in Utah. The man was heard making racial slurs at Frost, who is the first Afro-Cuban to serve in the U.S. House of Representatives. Coming up, we'll speak to Democratic Congressmember Delia Ramirez of Illinois. And we'll also speak with a former Border Patrol agent who's now speaking out against her former agency. Stay with us.
Sail on, brother. Don't let go. Stay strong, sister. Keep a hold.
Winds by Thomas Pritchard and Hussein Cade. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The Trump administration is removing Border Patrol Commander-at-Large Gregory Bovino from Minnesota after federal agents fatally shot Alex Preti, the 37-year-old VA ICU nurse, Saturday morning. Bovino has been the face of Trump's roving paramilitary-style immigration crackdown in Minneapolis and other Democratic-led cities. Shortly after Preti was killed, Bovino had claimed Preti intended to massacre law enforcement, a statement unsubstantiated by video and witness testimony from the scene. According to The Atlantic magazine, Bovino will return to his previous post in El Centro, California, is expected to retire soon. This is President Trump speaking on Fox News.
You know, Bovino is very good, but he's a pretty out there kind of a guy. And in some cases, that's good. Maybe it wasn't good here. But you have to understand, when I watch some of the people that I've been watching over the last few weeks, these are paid insurrectionists. These are paid agitators. These people aren't normal, like OG, that, you know, they're incensed about anything.
The Border Patrol has taken on an outsized role in Trump's crackdown in the interior of the country, operations historically handled by ICE alone. Border Patrol has a history of aggressive tactics and little transparency or scrutiny in the remote areas and border towns where they normally operate. The agency also has more authority to operate far from the border than is commonly understood. To talk more about the role and history of the agency, we're joined now by two guests. Jen Buds, a former Border Patrol agent turned immigrant rights activist. She was a senior patrol agent in San Diego and an intelligence agent at San Diego sector headquarters from 95 to 2001 when she resigned. Her work is featured in the recently released film Critical Incident: Death at the Border on HBO Max. And Todd Miller is with us, an award-winning independent journalist who's reported on border security and immigration for over a decade. His most recent book is Empire of Borders, the expansion of the U.S. border around the world and Border Patrol Nation, dispatches from the front lines of Homeland Security. He's the editor of the independent journalist project, The Border Chronicle. And as we speak to you, Todd, as we booked you yesterday, yet another shooting by border police, this one on the border in your town, in Tucson. If you can talk about what's happening and the country's awareness, especially in the interior, hundreds of miles away from the border, of what Border Patrol is doing, something you've been looking at for years, especially right on the border.
Thank you, Amy. In fact, yesterday when we were doing when I was talking to the producers yesterday, that's when I found out the news, too, that another shooting had happened by U.S. Border Patrol of a person in Arivaca, Arizona. And this is right as we're contemplating Alex Pretty, you know, in Minneapolis, and how he was basically executed by a U.S. Border Patrol agent. And I can't help but think, you know, that what we're seeing and with these different operations across the country, like Operation Metro Surge, the operation in Minneapolis, or Midway Blitz in Chicago, is this extension of what we've been seeing, the sort of policies and practices that we've been seeing in the U.S.-Mexico borderlands now for decades. And these policies and practices that were, we have to say that impunity is very much entrenched, that abuse is very much rampant, that where different things are actually experimented on, like surveillance techniques and tactics and different surveillance technologies, and then is transported, extended into different parts of the interior. It's almost as if the border itself is imposed in these operations in places like Minneapolis, and it becomes a place where you have these counter, because you have to think of the DHS forces when they first, as a counter terror, because it came right out of 9/11, right? A counter terror kind of domestic army, as one person has put it, that is now in putting a sort of border landscape in our cities. And that's the kind of connection I'm making myself from decades of reporting on this and looking at what's going on with these operations.
What has surprised you most and in what's happening now, and Greg Bovina being the one who is focused on, who is now being forced out with Tom Homans coming in, who was there under Obama, well known for addressing white supremacist groups, who was one of the architects of the family separation policy in Trump's first term in office, what this will mean?
Yeah, with the switch from Bovino to Thomas Homan is really not much of a switch. I mean, looking at the difference may be that Homan comes from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and Bovino is definitely from Border Patrol. But in this sense, they're both from the DHS apparatus, and it's just like almost changing one image for another image with the same exact. I can only imagine that there will be similar tactics. And one thing that's really sort of surprised me, like looking at these different operations across the country, I think back to the 1990s, when there was different Border Patrol operations like Operation Gatekeeper or Operation Hold the Line or Operation Safeguard, and how that transposed the border policy to this massive undertaking of building up walls and surveillance and hiring tons of agents to be on the border to implement a prevention through deterrence strategy that really has been a killing strategy. If you think about it, like deadly encounters, besides deadly encounters, like fatal shootings, there's been at least 10,000 people who have died crossing the border due to these strategies. So I've looked at these different strategies across the country and these the leaders of these strategies, like Bovino and now Homan. And I wonder, right, is this another massive shift in these sort of policies that we've seen that was a massive shift in the 90s, because we still have those now. Is this going to be the gateway into a new sort of border policy where the border is the entire country?
I want to bring Jen Budd into the conversation. There have been 12 DHS shootings since September. Amazingly, since Renee Good was killed on January 7th, there were two more in between her being killed and three more between her being killed and Alex Preti being killed. If you can talk about your Border Patrol experience, albeit years ago, and particularly talk about what happened in 2010 with the death of Anastasio Hernandez Rojas, and your observation of what's happening right now.
Well, my time in the Border Patrol from 1995 to shortly before 2011 is exactly what I'm seeing right now. You just didn't see it. The rest of America didn't see it because it was happening down here on the southern border. And I would like to say that when people say that this isn't the training or that they're untrained, no, this is the training. This is what we've been doing for decades upon decades, the ramming of the vehicles, the injuring people, the shooting people, and then lying about it is what happened prior to 9/11 and then really got a lot of juice after 9/11. So you have to understand that the management of the Border Patrol has been corrupt for many generations. And then after 9/11, we just gave them money with little accountability and let them design their own accountability systems, which we then filled with our own agents. So we make sure that when things are investigated, our own agents are actually the ones doing the investigations. To fast forward to 2010, when Anastasio Hernandez Rojas was beaten and tased and killed by Border Patrol, CBP, and ICE agents, the Border Patrol does not have the legal authority given to them by Congress to investigate their own use of force incidents. But the critical incident teams were designed in the Border Patrol in 1987 to start being the ones that report at least first to the scene. And when you're the first to report to the scene, then you can control the evidence. They literally will manipulate the evidence. They will get rid of witnesses, as we see what's going on in the Good case and in the Preti case. So when I look at these cases happening today, it's the exact same thing as what we see in the HBO movie about Anastasio's murder. And the sad thing about all this, too, is that in 2010, the chief of the Border Patrol who ran the cover-up of Anastasio's killing was Rodney Scott, and now he is the head of CBP. And he, once again, controls these cover-up teams, which were rolled from Border Patrol into CBP's Office of Professional Responsibility. So these teams are the same ones now doing the cover-ups for all of CBP.
And I want to end by asking you about this culture of death within Border Patrol. Over 10,000 people have died crossing the U.S.-Mexico border. Talk about this high mortality rate as we wrap up.
Well, I will say, Amy, statistic is from the federal government, and that is not true. It is not my experience. That number is way too low. The experience of people who find the bodies down here and people in Mexico with missing loved ones is we think it's about 80,000 since October of 1994. If deterrence worked, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about all of this. And so we essentially, our immigration policies have created a mass grave down here on the southern border, which unfortunately most of the media has ignored. And most of our Congress members don't seem to care. That is what our immigration system is. It is an obstacle of death for most people. And we do not allow people to present themselves legally. When people say do it the right way, there is no right way to do it, and there hasn't been for quite some time.
And Todd Miller, your final thoughts with this massive influx of tens of millions of dollars into the recruitment campaigns and overall the immigration agencies, ICE and CBP?
Yeah, this year, the combined budgets of ICE and CBP are $33.5 billion, and that's the largest it's ever been. At first, it just barely ascended $30 billion. And when Trump, to give context, when Donald Trump's, during his first administration, he started at $20 billion. So you can see how much it's grown over the first Trump administration, the Biden administration, till now. And it's $33.5 billion. It's supposed to be, this year, it's going to be another, I think, about $34.5 billion. Now, there's this $170 billion influx into the budgets from the Big Beautiful Bill Act. I always get that wrong. The $170 billion. So that all this money is going to go into more of what we've been seeing. I'm afraid that the money itself is like going to the crystal ball to see what we have before us. So with those sorts of those are the challenges we have in front of us.
And so we're going to talk to a Congress member who's making a decision about whether the funding should continue for ICE and CBP. Todd Miller, I want to thank you for being with us. Award-winning independent journalist, reported on border security and immigration for over a decade. And Jen Budd, former Border Patrol agent turned immigrant rights activist. She was a senior patrol agent in San Diego. This is Democracy Now! democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. We end today's show with Congresswoman Delia Ramirez from Chicago, who's calling for ICE to be abolished and the Department of Homeland Security to be dismantled. We plan to focus this interview on your push to impeach DHS Secretary Kristi Noem and the possible government shutdown. But I want to start by asking you about last night's attack on your colleague, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. Last night, a man sprayed her with an unknown substance.
And DHS Secretary Kristi Noem must resign or face impeachment.
Congressmember Ilhan Omar continued with the town hall meeting despite her aides and others saying she should be treated. An ambulance was waiting for her. President Trump had just attacked her verbally a few hours before at a rally in Iowa. And you have Congressmember Maxwell Frost attacked at the Sundance Film Festival. He's the only Afro-Cuban member of Congress. Congressmember Delia Ramirez, can you respond now to what you are seeing? First, to these attacks, and then we'll talk about what you're calling for.
Yeah. Look, Amy, it's disgusting and also scary, but the president of this country has weaponized his trolls around the country to put the life of so many of us in danger. I mean, Ilhan is someone who has been serving her community, standing up for her community day in and day out. This man sat somehow in the second row, I think, and then got up and sprayed her something. But I want you to talk about how Ilhan just continued to carry on that town hall and what she said. She has survived more than that, and she will continue to stand up for her community. And nor Trump or any of these vicious, terrible, evil people will stop her from doing that. She should not have to continue to be as strong as she is, but her strength, I think, inspires so many of us to say, we will not stand for this. We need to have the security measures in place. But this is a direct influence of what you're seeing from this president, from Stephen Miller, and from every single person that continues to justify what this president is doing around the country.
So if you can talk about what you are calling for when it comes to Kristi Noem, the Secretary of Homeland Security, who said after Alex Preti was killed by Border Patrol agents in Minneapolis that he was brandishing a weapon absolutely that was in contradiction to any video. No one claims he was brandishing a weapon. And you have, as you said, Stephen Miller talking about this would-be assassin who had gone to massacre police. What are you calling for in each of these cases?
Yeah, we need an independent investigation, but I think that we have enough footage as well to immediately realize that what Kristi Noem and what Stephen Miller are saying is blatant lies. DHS kills and then they lie about it. And somehow they think that they can lie also about the video footage. If there was body cameras and footage that they would release, it would collaborate everything we saw from every single angle. The CBP executed Alex Pretty. DHS and ICE killed Silverio Villegas. DHS shot Marimar and then lied about it and is unwilling to release all the evidence as her lawyer's demanding for it now. Renee Good was killed by them, and then they cursed at her as if this was some video game that they're playing as they're executing U.S. citizens, you know, in our cities. Here's the thing. She needs to be impeached. I'm grateful that Leader Jeffries is now saying that if Republicans are, if she's unwilling to resign or get fired, that we're going to start the impeachment process in the House of Representatives. She needs to be impeached, but Amy, that's not enough. She needs to be impeached, and then she needs to be prosecuted for the crimes under her watch. You heard someone just talk about DHS. DHS is rotten from the inside out. She needs to be impeached, prosecuted, but Tom Homan is no better. And if that's who they're attempting to bring to replace her, you know that what we see in our communities will continue. The agency itself needs to be dismantled. ICE needs to be abolished. And I have a bill called Melt ICE Act that would prohibit DHS from using any more of this balloon levels of money that they have that are being used to abduct, to kidnap, and then detain people so that they can give these contracts to campaign donors of Donald Trump. We have to abolish ICE. CBP was trained to operate in the way that it's operating. The entire agency of DHS needs to be dismantled, and FEMA can no longer operate under this rogue, under this rotten agency.
So can you talk about what legislation that you've introduced to abolish ICE? I mean, you have Democrats, your colleagues in the House last week, crossing the aisle and joining Republicans in funding DHS as it is. People like Tom Suozzi and another Long Island Congress member. Suozzi has now apologized, saying his constituents are angry. He apologized because Pretty was killed this weekend, and he said he really made a mistake in supporting this. But what actually happens now? This decision to that can lead to a partial government shutdown if the Republicans don't agree to separate out the funding of DHS from the rest of the budget?
Well, Republicans should immediately separate this budget the way that we did in the House. And then every single Democrat and every single Republican that's beginning to call for Kristi Noem to resign should say, not one more dollar as long as Kristi Noem is the secretary. Not one more dollar until we have body cameras. Not one more dollar until we get rid of secret police. But the point is, Amy, I can't justify anyone that would vote to send more money. Now, think about it. $170 billion taxpayer dollars through this big betrayal bill, I call it. They call it the big, beautiful bill. And then you're going to go and send them more money so that they can continue to occupy cities? What people in Minneapolis are feeling, in some way we felt in Chicago, it is an invasion of American cities. Chicago is still not okay from the invasion from Midway Blitz. And so it means that every single Democrat that is saying that what they are seeing every day is unacceptable, they have to call for more than training. They have to call for not one more dollar to be used by an agency that is executing people, that is abducting people. And in detention, our neighbors, our constituents are dying in. And so it means no money. And if there's a government shutdown, I think we have to be very clear as Democrats what our demands are, because you saw the failure of Democrats in the Senate last time we had a government shutdown. What did we in fact get from that shutdown? And I would say to you, Schumer has to do its job. Of course, I've called for his resignation. I still don't think that he is the leader that we need for this moment. But his precise responsibility in this moment is to ensure that demands of the American people are heard and not one more dollar is given to this agency that is rotten and killing American people.
So now Bovino is out, head of CBP. Apparently he's being sent back to Central California and will retire. And Tom Homan, considered by President Trump sort of the adult in the room, is being brought in. Last year, it was reported Homan had been recorded in 2024 accepting a bag. It was a bag from Cava, the store, with $50,000 in cash from a pair of undercover FBI agents who were posing as business executives in exchange for the money. Homan reportedly offered to help them secure future government contracts. Bribery probe was open, but Trump's Department of Justice shut down the investigation. I want to play a clip of NBC anchor Kristen Welker questioning Homan about the incident in an interview on Meet the Press.
I didn't take $50,000 from anybody, and that's a question for the FBI. I'm not going to give this story any more air. Bottom line, I did nothing illegal. I did nothing in the FBI and DOJ review this. No credible evidence I did anything because I didn't do anything illegal.
But was there $50,000 in the bag and did you return it?
I'm not giving the story any more air. This is an attack on my integrity and my professionalism. I'm not addressing it. But that's a question of the FBI.
Can you address, given that it's been recorded, did you keep the money? Did you return the money?
I did not keep any. $50,000 is ridiculous. The FBI has been clearing this. You know, and it irritates me. This story keeps going on and on and on, even though I've been found that did nothing inappropriate. So I'm not going to ask any more of these questions.
But just a minute, did you return the money?
So that's Tom Homan, who's now been brought in. Supposedly, ICE has also been brought in to deal with corruption in Minnesota. Homan's case, they did not come to a conclusion. The FBI just dropped the investigation recently. What are you calling for in his case and your response to him being brought in to head the ICE operations, the CBP operations?
Tom Homan is corrupt. He is no better than Gregory Bovino. Tom Homan is also responsible for everything that is happening. He is a special advisor to the president on all immigration enforcement. Everything that is happening, whether it's Alex, Renee, whether it's Silverio, and the dozens of other people have died under watch, Tom Homan is responsible for it as well. Rodney Scott, Tom Homan, Stephen Miller, Christy Noem, Trisha, all of them are responsible. There is no fixing, reforming the Department of Homeland Security. My bill, Melt ICE Act, is a bill that members of Congress can co-sponsor that would prohibit from your taxpayer dollars being used to continue to do what you see in the streets, from the detention that you're seeing in these private detentions where the contracts are going to Donald Trump's campaign donors that Tom Homan is helping also facilitate. This bill will also redirect all that money back into the communities like Minneapolis, like Chicago, that have been harmed by immigration enforcement. But the point is this, Tom Homan, Rodney Scott, Todd Lyons, they are all to blame to what is happening. Getting rid of Christy Noem, of course, is a step forward. It is not enough. The entire agency needs to be dismantled, and Tom Homan is no better. Mm.
Cash Patel's FBI closed the investigation into Homan while opening investigations into protesters in Minneapolis. And the Civil Rights Division says they're not bringing civil rights charges against the agents who killed the U.S. citizens in Minneapolis. We have 20 seconds. Your final thoughts.
When you have an agency killing people, executing them, lying about it, and then talking about investigating themselves while operating with impunity, you know exactly what is happening. ICE needs to be abolished. DHS needs to be dismantled. And we need to bring justice for every single person being experiencing the harm, the chaos, and the terrorizing in every community in this country.
Illinois Congress member Delia Ramirez speaking to us from Chicago. We want to thank you so much for being with us. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, SFU's community radio station, broadcasting live from Burnaby, BC.
My name's Eric Swanson, and I'm a dad of two young girls. It was a game changer when we learned that $10 a day childcare was being offered to both our kids. And we want all BC families to have this option. To get there, BC has to do three key things. Pay fair and consistent wages for all childcare educators. Transition all existing programs to $10 a day. And plan childcare expansion more like we do schools and hospitals. BC's on the right track, but we need to go faster. Go to 10aday.ca to learn more.